isn't the rain a good thing here, right? Amen. God is good. He's providing us with the rain so that we have a better, I think, summer, safer summer, right? And for the crops and everything. So amen to that. I am happy to be here because I've been waiting for Sabbath. I don't know about you. I had a very intense week emotionally and not so much physically, but more emotionally and just with school and all this other stuff. And I was like, Sabbath, please come. And so the Sabbath hour is here where I get a chance to spend time with all of you. Amen. One of the things I wanted to kind of talk about is that our friend Becky, I spoke to Laura yesterday, which is her daughter, and she is so grateful for everyone coming out to visit and saying their hellos, their goodbyes, you know, just making Becky feel very appreciated and loved. And so thank you so much for that. As you know, she also has family members that are there as well and are occupying time and space as well. And so at this moment, it's been a little bit of a burden on her because she's the go-to in the family. I don't know how many of us are the go-to in the family where our family basically leans on us, right, to do a lot of the work. And so she has been a little bit drained. Or I should say she's been very drained because this has been a long process. It's not just recently. She's been taking care of her mom since she's been sick. Bottom line is that she had asked if for the moment, at least for the moment, if we can cease as her church family, if we can cease visitation. If you want to call maybe beforehand, if you want to go visit her one last time, and you need to contact Laura just to ask her, let me know. If you don't have her number, I can give you her number. But she's asking if we can cease because basically she's in and out. She's basically not comprehending and not there as much, and she's very tired. And so I just had that conversation with her yesterday, and I let her know that our church family, if she needs a break or any type of help at all, I'm sure that any of you that can would be able to offer that to her. So, that's one thing she asked for. And then this other part is just more, she didn't ask me to do this, but I'm doing it anyways. Rebecca, Becky has at the funeral home, River Valley Funeral Home, they do have a webpage for her that you can go and donate, contribute to her funeral costs. As I don't know if you can see it there, but basically, it's about $8,500, and only $250 have been funded. She did tell me that some family members were going to help and all that, and everybody's trying to collect. You know how sometimes when this is unexpected, how this goes. And our church has been very, very supportive of Becky and her situation. I want to thank for those brothers and sisters that ahead of time, when she was getting there, that she needed some help, people supported her. So this is basically a contribution that will go directly towards her funeral expenses. And so you can do this online or you can call River Valley Funeral Home and also or go to them in Okanagan and donate towards Becky's funeral arrangements. So I just wanted to pretty much say that. When I went to go see Becky, it was actually she was alive. Like she was... It looked like she was filled with life at that moment. She was smiling. She was saying jokes. And she was just really enjoying the moment. And so I was very happy with her. That's how I want to remember her. I was very thankful to the Lord that I was able to go see her and witness that. So I will just leave that at that. I'm grateful to be of help to anyone. And if anybody has any questions, please let me know. Very well. Today's topic is a continuation. Oh, Jomar, can you do me a favor? Can you give me the charger? Today's topic is a continuation of last week, last Sabbath. Oh. And it is in regards to our godly communication. Yeah, and there's a bug there. Godly communication, right? What is godly communication? As we discussed last Sabbath, godly communication entails being able to not only communicate with our brothers and sisters, because we can do that in any way. Thanks. We could do that in any way, but it also, it also means that when we put the word godly in front of it, there are some important things that we need to remember as we're communicating with our brothers and sisters. Hence, I want to ask forgiveness in front of everyone to my beautiful wife, because when I asked her to come and help me with this topic, I did not communicate with her that I was going to tell stories about us. and so she was not ready for that. She was not ready for that. So I do apologize. Baby, I'm sorry. I love you. You're the best ever, okay? And I know that maybe I didn't prepare you for that, and I apologize about that. I didn't communicate very well in a godly manner about that. But that's the truth. A godly communication is one, my friends, that you're not putting me first. You're putting who first? God first, right? And in doing so, basically what we're looking at is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, 12, it gives us, what does that actually look like? It says, finally all of you be of one, what? One mind, having compassion for one another. What does having one mind means? What does that entail? What is having one mind? Whose mind should we have if we're all in one mind? A godly mind, right? God's mind, right? We should have his attitude, his demeanor. If Jesus was here, how would he speak to this person? How would he deal with the situation, right? And so we have to have that one mind, because in having that one mind with God, what does it give us? What does it allow us to have? Compassion for one another. It allows us to love as brothers. Be tender-hearted, right? Be tender-hearted. There's been a lot of times that, for whatever reason, we just forget about all this, right? And so, and normally, it's not that we forget about this when we come to church. When we come to church, we treat each other, hey, how you doing, brother? Good to see you. And we all smile, and we're all happy go-getters, you know, and it looks very genuine. You know, I'm not saying that you guys are not smiling genuinely. It looks and feels genuine, right? But at the same time, when we go home, and I'm telling you from experience, it seems as though we just picked off where we left off, right? And our attitudes completely shift. It's like the godly communication just left, stayed in the front door, right? Or maybe just left it here at church, and when it comes home, it's a totally different atmosphere. And so we have to continue as Christians to strive to have godly minds, to have a godly communication with our brothers and sisters, especially, my friends, our own family. You know, I understand that we live in a world where even our own family can betray us. Even our own family can do things that we're not so proud of. But at the end of the day, they're still souls that God loves tenderly. They're still individuals that need a savior. And so we have to, some way, somehow, have this godly mind, because if it was up to us, we would condemn them, right, for their actions. We would push them away. We would at least not even talk to them, not even call them. It takes a lot for us to have a godly mind, but if we strive to acquire this godly mind, if we understand it, it would be a lot easier for us to go ahead and take that step of not allowing evil to overcome us, not allowing the devil to really take hold of that ego trip that we have. Now, communication in the family circle is very important. Now, this is not just a family circle in the sense of our homes, but this is also the family circle in different places, because isn't it so that we spend, for some of us that still work, we spend hours at work, and we also become like a family? Isn't it so that we spend hours at church and we also become as a family, right? And so this is a family circle. This applies to all the circles in your life, right? We're talking about this in all aspects of your life, but we want to focus mainly on the family because it starts at home first, right? We practice this at home so that when we go out in the world, we also apply it to our other family circles. You know, on July 26, 1945, the United States Great Britain and China had issued the, it's called the Potsdam Proclamation. Basically, it was an ultimatum. Ultimatum of immediate, unconditional surrender of the armed forces of Japan. They said, hey, you got to surrender. This was back in 1945. And so the ultimatum basically threatened complete destruction of Japan if we were not to accept it. And so the Japanese fleet no longer had existed as a viable fighting force. They basically didn't have the capabilities to continue fighting, and the successful defense of the home islands was impossible. So there was no way that these islands could actually defend themselves. And so there was this ultimatum, either you complete annihilation or you surrender. And so Japanese intelligence knew that the United States had developed this thing called the atomic bomb and suspected what the bomb can actually do. Now, the Japanese cabinet was preparing to accept this ultimatum, okay? Yet they were searching some way, somehow to save face, right? They were searching some way, somehow to say, you know what, we don't want to look that bad, okay? And especially to their people, according to this article. It says here that in searching for those words and how to release this statement, announcing what's called a policy, and I'm going to try my best to pronounce this, is makusatsu. Now, this word in Japanese is an ambiguous term with several meanings, which cannot be directly translated into English. I know that in Spanish, there's some words that no matter what, how I could translate into Spanish from Spanish to English, sometimes there's just no actual translation that best describes it in English. So I can definitely understand this. And so the Japanese are trying to figure out how they how to translate this word. And unfortunately, makusatsu means to basically to ignore, right? And it also means to refrain from comment. So it means two different, not two different things, but one is more ignore and the other one is to refrain from comment. It has these two definitions. So the press translated the word to mean that the Japanese cabinet had ignored the ultimatum. And when in reality, they were just trying to communicate that they were refraining from comment. And so because they needed to, because they needed more time, they were trying to refrain from comment. So you see how this word, which can mean two different things, if the wrong one gets applied, what do you think happened? Basically, because they were trying to communicate this and there was a miscommunication, in the confusing days of the crisis, as Prime Minister Suzuki faced two assassination attempts and attempted military coup, because what ended up happening, my friends, the atomic bomb did drop because it was taken that they did not accept the ultimatum. And as we know, this caused devastation across the board. Makusatsu, the power of a word. Do you think that some family atomic explosions could be avoided by better communication? Is the question today. Do we think? I really believe so, right? Communication is so important. And so we touched a little bit in regards to what it is to have a good family communication. And I'm not going to go through every single one, but we did talk about being wise and choosing our words and being able to convey and be clear in our messages, right? We talked about the six steps, right, to deliver clear, concise messages, staying on eye level with someone, deliver important messages only to that person that is looking at you, give focused attention. And we went through all these, observe your culture's norms, right, for showing respect. And so all this is very important. These are very important elements in how we want to be concise and be able to deliver our messages, okay? And so we talked about nonverbals, right? Nonverbals are also very important for communication. Have you ever, if I was serious and I was to laugh, I saw this on a TikTok. I thought it was hilarious, right? But if I was to laugh and keep a straight face, you would be like, pastor's going crazy, right? I mean, you would think I'm crazy if I'm laughing inwards, but my face is what? It's serious. And so nonverbals of communication is very important. Why? Because they tell us everything. As a matter of fact, there's a stat here that 55% of our face and body language is telling it all, is communicating with the person, okay? And only 38% of it is by tone of voice. And then the other 7% is really what are words. Now, I'm the type of person, and it depends on, you know, the individual. I'm the type of person that words do affect me. But let me tell you something. Tone has to do a lot with it, right? I gave an example of sometimes how we, you know, at work, I had a boss that he had a very bad tone. You know, he would just, the way that he comes off is just rude all the time. But it was just his way, culturally, it was just his way. He's Italian. And so he just tells you the things how it is. And you're like, dude, but you could change your tone. I remember one time, his body language, it looked like he wanted to, like, hit me, like if I was his child. I said, that's not happening, homie. I went to the office and let it be the last time you do that. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. It's just like my bad habit. I was like, nah, HR was going to take care of the bad habit. And so at that point, you know, it's just very important, you know. And so tone, body language, face, all that is very important because that's how we communicate. And so when we read 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12, you know, and it speaks to our hearts, we have to take in consideration a couple things, right? A godly communication requires that we turn what? From evil and do what? Do good in our walk and in our words, okay? And so that is something that I wanted to continue on today and talking about the next step. So what are the different levels of communication? And I want to thank you for your patience on this. I'm going to tell you a little secret, okay? I had to do this for my class, okay? And so the education that I'm getting, I'm applying it. And I'm applying it personally, and I'm giving it to you, all right? So what are the different levels of communication? There's chit-chat, little minor communications, right? There's what? Reporting the news and facts, okay? We don't get that much today the right way. Communicating ideas and opinions, right? Everybody has an opinion. Nobody wants to help, but they have opinions. Or sharing feelings. We live in a world that feelings overcome facts and a whole bunch of other stuff. Or open and intimate, mature communication, right? That's something that we can definitely also practice more often. The question is, which one do we communicate the most? Which one do you spend the most communicating with? Do you, all you do is chit-chat? All you do is report news? Are you a news reporter? Are you communicating always ideas and opinions or sharing feelings, right? Are you always sharing your feelings? We have, the way that we're built, everyone here is built differently. There's some that are a little bit more, you know, depending on our situation, is a little more than others. But just, I want you guys to think about that. I think about what level of communication, especially like for marriages and families, are important in this category, right? Is it intimate or mature communication? Is it, do you just have chit-chats with your family and so on? So just think about that. Research says 6 factors for characterizing strong family, healthy families. Number one is to show what? Show love and appreciation. When was the last time that you spoke to your son and said, son, I appreciate you, what you do. Thank you so much for, you know, taking out the garbage without daddy or mommy telling you to do so, right? Or, you know, something to that effect. Or baby, thank you so much because every single day I come home, you have that cooked meal, and I really appreciate you having that cooked meal ready for me, warmed up, ready to go. Thank you so much for doing that, right? And so there are, that's just, you know, I'm practicing my mom, Mother's Day stuff here. The reality is that we have to show love and appreciation, not just on special holidays, my friends, not just on birthdays, but throughout the year, right? Throughout the year. Very important. We have to show that. And not only to our families, but also our friends, our other circles, okay? Spend time together. This is something that is also very important to have a healthy family. Face crisis in a positive way. That's sometimes very hard to do as well. are spiritual. A family that is strong and healthy is spiritual. Are committed to each other, right? Are committed to each other and communicate effectively is the last one. Having time for God in this essence, when we take time to have for God as a family, that is one of the elements that also helps us to maintain strong a bond together, a healthy bond together. Having time for each other. A couple times means companionship. You know, being able to spend time with or without the children, right? As a couple, it's very important that you have that time. As friends, it's very important. My wife the other day told me, honey, I'm going to text all the women that I can, and I want to go for a walk. And I was like, I can't go in to walk with you, right? And so, but at the same time, I was like, she needs that time. She needs that time, that bonding with other women. So thank you for whoever went on a walk with her. She came back just re-energized, right? I don't know what she said or what she was able to let go. But I know that bond between friends, the couples, right, is very important as well, okay? There's a research, Gary Small Services, that most wives would like 1 hour of communication time with their husband during the day. Okay, is that true, baby? You at least need 1 hour, right? At least 1 hour. 1 hour. If she gets 30 minutes from me, is a lot. But start off with something small, you know, and work your way up to an hour, right? A lot of that, I'm just going to warn you, men, is just listening. Okay, it's where you're going to practice your listening skills. Just being honest, okay? Just let her vent. Let her go. You're not trying to solve any problems. We just want you to listen to her for an hour. All right? Research in the Hilton Terrell's report says two-parent households best for youth children from single-parent homes suffer 20 to 40% more than health problems and when they have health problems. And so this affects children, my friends. And so we have to communicate. That's why communication is so important. What robs us from having time with our teens? You know, one of the things that I get a chance to do with Jomar, and this is, you know, something that I've been doing with him recently, is even just going out and, you know, go play basketball with him, try to teach him, and just have these. It gives me an opportunity for that ride from Potero's to the school to actually have a conversation with him. So, how you doing, man? How's school? How's this going on? You know, this and how you feel about that, and you know, it's a time that he opens up with me, and I appreciate that because it gives me some time. Besides that, it's very hard for me to make time to go ahead and do that sometimes with him, mainly because he's a teen. And teenagers don't want to know anything about their parents because we're not cool anymore. We're not hip, right? And so sometimes they feel like we don't have anything in common, and which is totally opposite. If you sit down and talk to your teen, you'll find out you have a lot in common. Could it be the media is part of the problem? Absolutely, my friends. The media has taken up so much time. I remember a couple years ago when my little nephew was born. Him coming, just having a screen in his face. At 2 years old, he already knows how to open, close apps. I don't want this picture. I know how to delete it. I mean, he knows how to use a phone. You know, this little kid is a little whiz. He knows more than I do. And so, media with the technology and everything has become a problem. Look at what it says here. On average day, youth ages 12 through 24 in the U.S. spend what? On the following times on electric media, internet, 2.5, almost three hours on television, 1.5 hours on radio. I don't even, you know, depending on what you're listening to. Video games, 1 hour and 10 minutes. I think that's a lot more, but now. And then telephone, 1 hour and 1 hour. So a total of 9 hours on just media. 9 hours, my friends. That's a whole day. And so I was telling Jomar the other day, I was like, dude, man, you're addicted to media. We were having this conversation. And he's like, no, I'm not, Dad. No, I'm not. I was like, yes, you are. You know, and granted, he goes to school and he's on the computer, you know. But I can't count that one. But, you know, I was trying to point it out to him. I was like, this is what you're doing. I said, look, I understand. I'm also addicted to media, too. There are times where I see myself scrolling and looking at pictures and this and that from, you know, from Facebook. And the next thing I know, it's been 45 minutes. And I'm like, ah, you know. And so I understand how easily and time-consuming media can take, or even talking on the phone, right? I can talk to church members for an hour, 2 hours on the phone easily if I don't watch my time. And so I can understand a teenager at his age, I don't know what he's talking for an hour on the phone for, but it can happen. It happens. I remember when I was boyfriend and girlfriend with Barbara, that we spent hours and all we said is, I love you. And she would say, I love you too. And that's all we would do, you know, for like hours. Now we're like, okay, what do you need, babe? Yeah, water? Okay, you need some, okay, you need milk, sugar? Okay, bye, click, and we just hang up. We forget to say, I love you sometimes. So it just changes. If parents would take time to communicate with children, or they take time to communicate with children, about overload and unprofitable use of time are considered hands-on parents. So you become a hands-on parent. Let's talk a little bit about this. And even though he didn't like the conversation at the time, because he thought I was blaming him and whatever, I gave him some other ideas. I said, look, if you were to take media, and this is for all my teens out there, listen up. If you were to take the media, okay, and use it in a positive way, let's say, for example, you always talking about you want to make some money, right? Mommy and daddy don't give you the allowance that whatever. And you always are. I said, well, listen, why don't you look for something that could generate you some money? Like, for example, I told him, I said, there's a way that you can make money. If you take, let's say you need to come up with $3,000. He's like, daddy, $3,000? I was like, yeah. Do you know what you could do with $3,000? He's like, what can I do? I said, you can buy yourself an ATM machine. And he's like, an ATM machine? I was like, yeah, you buy yourself an ATM machine. The services that you charge, you make money off of that. And it's called passive income. And he goes, well, how am I going to get $3,000? I said, well, look up on the internet how you can make $3,000. I said, number one, you could get your partnership. You could do this. You could do that. And I know that he was like overwhelmed as I was giving him ideas. I said, so you take that passive income. Let's say that passive income gives you $1,000. Now you can say, okay, now I have $1,000 that is coming in. Now I could get either another ATM or another vending machine. Or I could do this. I could do that. And as he was just going, he was like, okay. And I was like, well, listen, you need to do your research. See, instead of spending time on the video games and 3 hours on video games, just give an hour to your research and see what you can come up with. And so hands-on parents have to think outside the box is what I'm trying to say. Okay? You have to think outside the box. You don't want to say get off completely off the internet, because you know what? The more you tell your kids to get completely off something, the more they're going to spend time on it. But what you want to say is you want to turn them a little bit to the side and say, you know what? Instead, let's use it for this. And so he's been great at that. He's come up with a million ideas. Now I can't get him to be quiet about ideas, okay? But that's okay. That's what we are, hands-on parents, okay? We have to be hands-on parents. And so we have to set boundaries of these electronic medias, et cetera. One of the most powerful means of communication, according to Gary Chapman, and I don't know if you guys ever heard of the book Five Love Languages, is this other one in family is touching, my friends, is the gift of being able to touch. And so the reason that this is so powerful, and this really amazed me, is I'm just going to skip over that. When hugs, my friends, when we hug, do you know how powerful a hug is? Look what hugs do. It improves mental health, physical health, your immune system. Hugs increase the bonding hormone, oxytocin. And it decreased the risk of heart disease. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Is heart disease one of the top reasons people die in America? Yeah. Heart disease. It reduces that. So, I mean, this is amazing. Just with the hug. And I was like, oh, we're going to start hugging at home a lot more now. Because it's a good thing. Hugs are a good thing. And my family, unfortunately, we didn't hug a lot. And so it's just something I have to practice more. Right? A prescription for all. How many hugs do we need a day? How many hugs then in that case do we need a day? Right? Researcher also confirms the value of hugs. Little hugs can dry up big tears, prevent depression, lower heart rate, increase hemoglobin, boost the immune system, release stress, promote sleep, help children be sweeter, which is true, strengthen family relation, and improve children's schoolwork. Wow, the benefits of hugs, my friends. Isn't that awesome? I think it's awesome. Amen? Amen for God allowing us to be able to hug. Can you imagine receiving a hug from Jesus? He's hugging you right now. Amen? Communication hints for all. Another thing is communicating in a way that we can be optimistic and positive. It's something that definitely we need to enjoy, the life humor. And I think the other one was brainstorm on choices to be made, be a good listener, talk to others so others will tune in and not out. And so communication definitely helps us to do that. Let's see, plan a talk time, right? We talked about this a little bit. We need to plan a talk time with each other, eat together as a family. This is a big thing, especially for those families out there. Communicate needs. If you don't tell me what you need, how can I help you, right? Enjoy family devotion time, which is, to me, one of the main ones. And love includes boldness, being bold, being able to talk to each other face-to-face, honestly. Enjoy life with humor. One thing that sometimes we miss out in church is humor. A little humor is not bad, okay? It's okay to laugh and laugh at our silly mistakes or things that we do sometimes. A little humor goes a long way. So recall a humor event. You know, I remember when we went out with the elders, and we went out with some of y'all came with me to visit a young lady that had brain cancer, and they told us she only had a couple months left. And we went to her house, and it was a group of us, and I didn't know what to say because I didn't know this lady. I didn't know this young lady, and I didn't know what to say. And somebody said something, and it was like one joke after another. And it changed the whole mood of everybody, even her. Even she was laughing. And it just changed the whole mood, and it made it so much easier to talk to, so much easier to communicate and convey the message that God wanted her to have that day. You know, so humor is yes, it could go extremely wrong, but it's a good thing. It's good to laugh. Good listening skills involves looking and acting the part, again, listening. What kind of person are we as far as listening? And the reason I say this is because as men, when we listen, we're already trying to solve problems in our mind. You know, we're like, okay, what is the problem? Why is she mad? What's going on? And then we're trying to, well, baby, the perfect solution is if we do this and this and this. And she's like, I don't want you to listen to my solution. I don't want your solution. I want you to listen to me. I was like, I am listening to you, baby. But why you don't understand? Well, you're asking me, you know, that you have a problem. You're telling me you have a problem, and I'm trying to give you the solution. She don't want the solution. She could figure out the solution. She's pretty smart herself. That's why she married you, right? She's pretty smart herself. I'm trying to help, guys. I'm trying to help, okay? But that's, you know, so she's pretty smart herself. She can probably figure out the solution herself, you know? She had knees, and she could bend down and ask the Lord herself, too. What she really wants is someone to try to understand her, to communicate, to be able to sympathize for her, to be able to say, you know what, let me show interest. Let me show her that I do love her, and let me show her interest in her and what she needs and or what, you know, what she's going with. And the same thing with men. Sometimes us men, we do get emotional, and we just want somebody to listen to us and solve our problems too. But at the same time, my friends, we have to rate our listening skills and practice on that. For those that it doesn't come natural, okay? Okay, so we're gonna skip this one. Eating together as a family, this is a perfect time. I know that some of y'all have busy schedules and all that, but try to do this, eating together as a family. And this is not just your circle, right? This is not just your family at home. This is church family. How important it is that if we don't have potluck, that we say, hey, Carol, do you mind coming to my house today and let's have lunch at my house? You know, I have a special, you know, lunch at my house, and y'all go together and be able to go to each other's homes and share family time together. That is what our earlier church family used to do, and that's how, you know, you become very healthy in relationships in our church. This is very important for teens as well, because it allows them to not participate in risky behaviors, according to some polls out there. Okay, teens eating with the family, look what it does to them. Teens eating with family will be less likely to have sex at an earlier age, be suspended from school, and commit suicide. Isn't that one of our biggest problems here in this state of Washington, of teens committing suicide? So that's the importance of being able to eat together, okay? Teens eating with family will also be better, have better grades at school, be better emotionally adjusted, and have positive friends, and have better nutrition. And I know that you may think that this is not important, but look, that part there that says be better emotionally adjusted, you know, your teen is going through some serious emotions. And as, you know, their hormones are kicking in, they're all over the place. I can't tell you how many times we've had great conversations with my son at the dinner table, you know, to address certain issues. And, you know, all of our emotions, we're all crying at the table. You know, like, it just helps. It helps to get everything out. It triggers something awesome. So I encourage you to do that. Making the family dinner hour a priority isn't easy, but the long-term benefits are worth an effort, okay? Okay, so another thing, and I'll end with this. Another thing that's very important is enjoy family devotional time. I don't care if it's 5 minutes before you leave to work, or if you can do 45 minutes or 35 minutes or whatever it is, have some type of devotional in the morning or at late at night. Once you get all together as a family, this is even with spouse, if it's just you and Mr. and Mrs. alone, have some type of devotional time together, whether it's praying, whether it's reading something or talking something about the Bible, have that devotional time together. Later on in the year when we give a week of family, we have this cool gift that I want to give you all of you guys for your families to use. For a family devotional time. The highest level of communication is communicating with God and what? And tuning into God's communication with us. So that is the highest level of communication. And that is why prayer is important in our lives. It relieves the stress and it gives us hope. And it goes back to the main thing in which I wanted to kind of end today. Godly communication requires that we turn from evil and do good in our walk and in our words, my friends. If we really want to communicate better, we have to seek God first and understand that it's not all about me, but it's about how God wants me to communicate with others besides my family, besides my church family. And especially when we do community service, especially when we do other things where we're really trying to communicate with our you know, our bodies and our words, the love of Christ. Okay, that's so important. There was a true story from South. This is a true story from South Africa. There was this a frail black woman, about 70 years old, slowly rising to her feet. And across the courtroom, facing her, were several white police officers. One of them, Mr. Van Deer Borick, has just been convicted of killing her son and her husband. Now, Van Deer Borick had come to the woman's home, had taken her son, shot him point-blank range, and then set the young man's body on fire to burn while he and other officers partied nearby. Okay. Now, several years later, this police officer and his men had returned to the woman's, to the lady's house, her husband, and did the same thing to her husband as well. And for months, she did not know where her husband was. Then almost 2 years later, after her husband's disappearance, this police officer came back to get the woman herself. Now, how well she remembers in vivid detail that evening going to the place beside a river where she was shown her husband, bound and beaten, but still strong in spirit, lying on a pile of wood. So they actually didn't kill him, but they actually had bounded this husband. And so the last words of the husband was this. From his lips, it says, as the police officers poured out gasoline over his body and set him aflame, his last words were, "Father, forgive them." And so now this woman stands in the courtroom and listens to the confessions offered by the police officer, Van Deer Borick. And a member of the South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission turns to her and asks the poor woman, "So what would you want? What do you want to be done? How should justice be done to this man who has brutally destroyed your family?" And she says, "I want three things," the old woman communicated clearly and confidently, saying, "First, I want to be taken to the place where my husband's body was burned so I can gather up the dust and give his remains a decent burial." And then she paused, and then she continued, "My son and my husband were my only family. I want, therefore, for Mr. Van Der Broek to become my son. I would like for him to come twice a month to spend a day with me so I can pour out on him whatever love I still have remaining in me. And the third request is also the wish of my husband. And so I would kindly ask someone to come to my side and lead me across our courtroom so I can take Mr. Van Der Broek in my arms and embrace him and let him know he is truly forgiven." As the court assistants came and led the elderly woman across the room, Van Der Broek, overwhelmed by what he had just heard, fainted. As he did, those in the courtroom, family, friends, and neighbors, all victims of decades of oppression and injustice, began to sing softly but assuredly, "Amazing Grace, how sweet thou sound that saved a wretch like me." My friends, in this particular presentation, we have learned different ways and levels of communication. And the highest possible level of open communication is the communication with our God. It is the ultimate sixth level of communication of the levels of communication. And we have seen that God is trying to communicate today with men and women everywhere by the means of the Bible, by the means of the Word of God, His own Word. But some people just don't get the message. They may not read it in the book. They may not read the book. But there is one message that they cannot deny or controvert. Just as the very life of this frail African woman communicated love to the murderer of her husband and son, do you want God to help you to communicate love in the same manner? Is a question that we need to ask ourselves. And so as we go out to the community, as we reach out to Becky's family, who most of them, don't know about our church, but all you were all representatives there. You represented God in our church. As we reach out to others as well, we have to make sure that the message that we're trying to communicate with others is that of love, the love that God has shown me and the mercy and grace that one day we will see him again, but we need to understand that it's through that love. So I pray today that we can communicate better, and may this open the avenues of better communication within our families. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be able to openly communicate with you. We thank you for your word that gives us that light that we need. As you communicate words to us of encouragement, words of uplifting our spirit, and being able, Father, to really know what it is that you want us to do in our lives, the purpose of our lives. We thank you for conveying that ultimate message of love, how much you love us. Thank you, because I know that we will be studying this forever and ever, even when we reach the heavens and spend an eternity with you, Father. Father, in the meantime, I pray for our broken homes. You know what each home here represents and what is going through and the difficulties that we've had because of lack of communication. May we put these things into practice and take in consideration and look for more information and look to how we can better ourselves in our homes. But may you always be the number one source that we can go to, that we may be able to utilize what you've done with us, how you've embraced us, how you basically been the initiator of all this when it comes to communication. We love you, Father, and as we continue in worship in our Sabbath, we pray that we continue to communicate with you and with our brothers and sisters today. We love you, Father, and we thank you for all this. We can't wait to see you, so we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.